You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Mutinoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up for you today. Our friend and colleague and host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us after the 9:30 news. Lots of things to kick around with Pat. In hour number two, State Senator Kelda Royce is going to join us to talk about some new legislation that she co-authored, I believe, to help regulate crypto.
Yeah.
I have many, 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 many questions.
Yes.
About crypto. It just seems twitchy to me. It does.
Well, understood. And what's interesting is Maggie Dawn from, the Maggie Dawn Show did a special episode on crypto, which you can find on civicmedia.us/shows.
Check it out. It's great.
And it's great because she speaks to a gentleman who is a Bitcoin advocate to talk about those questions. And then she has Richard Painter on, who was a White House ethics attorney under George W. Bush, to talk about the cons and the problems that might be. So it's this overarching idea that if you have questions, a good place to start. And for me, I'm the same way. I'm like, crypto kind of gives me the ick, but I also have to come to the realization that this is not going anywhere.
No, I know.
It's here to stay.
It is.
And if I'm not going to use it, it's best to learn about it.
Absolutely. So State Senator Kelda Royce is joining us in hour number two. We're going to talk a little bit about crypto in the last half hour of the show, as we always do. We're going to lighten things up with a little audio sorbet, get away from the news, take a breath. We're going to talk about, what's your pocket pancake?
Yeah.
Keep it clean. Yeah, okay. Sorry about that. Pocket pancake's big because of Pat Murphy from the Brewers.
Yes.
This is his go-to snack. And now they're selling it at AmFam Field.
So, I would just rather have a pancake in my pocket from home, but, I'll pay $13 for a pancake.
You're right. So we want to talk, what's your go-to snack? This is Pat Murphy's go-to snack, what is it? Chicken tender wrapped in a pancake.
Pretty much, yeah.
Essentially.
I mean, I would just do a plain pancake if I was me.
In your pocket. So we'll talk about, what is your pocket pancake? What is your go-to snack for audio sorbet after the 10:30 news? And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Chug This edition. Stay tuned for that. Did want to start off. I wanted to thank Greg and Calvin, by the way, for filling in for me yesterday as we did a little flood cleanup.
Yeah.
We got off so lucky compared to other folks. We had about 5.5-6 inches of rain, and it was just clean water. The system just could not keep up with it. The crock was overflowing. Mm-hmm. The alarm is going off. It's like great,
And dogs and cats living together.
And it was, but again, we got off so easy compared to stories I'm seeing in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin Public Radio. I mean, there are folks who just got crushed and lost everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lost everything.
It was very odd. I said this yesterday on the show that, I live in southeastern Wisconsin, and I've lived in this area my entire life. I've never seen flooding like this here. We don't usually get this kind of flooding. And also, I live in Kenosha, which, yeah, it's a little bit of a drive away, but it's not two states away. And the fact that we got just the rain,
right,
but not what Milwaukee and some of Waukesha County got, is mind-blowing. It really is, and I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful that you did not have to. I mean, like, you had to go through what you had to go through, but it wasn't 3.5 feet of water.
Oh,
it wasn't. It wasn't basement walls caving in.
Right?
It was.
And we are seeing stories like that now. And this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Jack Albright essentially says, "I lost everything." Milwaukee residents recount tragic night of flooding and the aftermath. Barbara Lewandowska woke up to find her refrigerator halfway across the room.
Jeez.
There are flood lines outside houses 2 to 3 feet above the ground. So again, we had 6 inches in the basement. We got off so easy compared to folks who had 2, 3.5 feet of water in their basements. When I had my house in New Berlin in 96 and 97, I believe, we had, again, back-to-back 100-year floods. Mm-hmm. And my house in New Berlin flooded, and I had 2.5 feet of water. It's very disconcerting to look at your basement and see things floating.
I can only imagine. And that's one of those things where, on your experience, on the experience of others, I feel you're incredibly lucky to have the structure that my wife and I own is 30 years old. So it's
you're pretty new.
It's pretty new, and it's not lost on me that we got off very light.
A lot of folks, again, who have never flooded before.
Yeah.
Because the rivers, it just went up so quickly and happened so fast. Governor Evers has declared a state of emergency after this incredible flash flooding, massive volumes of rain on Saturday and Sunday, 14 inches in some areas. 14 inches.
That is, like I said, maybe I missed it, but someone referred to it as a 1,000-year flood. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what that means, but it just, for my money, for living here, as I said, as my entire life, just never have seen flood damage in this part of the state that's been so overwhelming. And I mean, it was national news stories. That drone video of AmFam Field,
yeah,
pulling back and seeing the cars submerged. It's just, yeah, I'm thankful that there wasn't more damage, loss of human. There wasn't.
We haven't had any reports of fatalities.
That's what I thought.
Not so far.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Not so far.
And that's very, very thankful for that. But I'm glad that you were able to get what you need to get done. It's good to see you again.
Squeezy mops. I could do a whole litany on the importance and value of various squeezy mops after having bleached and mopped and bleached and mopped, because that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's clean water, you have to make sure that there's no bacteria. You don't want to get a mold situation. Mm-hmm. If you are dealing with this or you have neighbors who are, you'd like to share your story, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about the devastating flash flooding that happened over the weekend, like this one. This is from WISN. Muskego neighborhood faces basement collapse.
Yeah.
After severe flooding. I can't even imagine. When the family got home to their house on Sunday, they found the basement wall of their home had collapsed, leaving behind flooded electronics, power tools, destroyed. Despite having flood insurance, contractors estimate that this homeowner's foundation will not be covered.
I don't understand that.
Repairs costing up to almost $50,000.
For right now, if you do it right this moment.
Right.
If you wait any amount of time, it's probably going to go up a few grand, a couple weeks. Why won't flood insurance cover that? I don't get it.
It depends upon your spot, your policy, but most homeowners insurance does not cover flood damage.
Well, and that's, I guess,
you need a separate flood policy.
Yeah.
However,
yeah,
this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, water damage that is top down. So we're talking about your sprinkler system malfunctions.
Yes.
Or gutter issues.
Yeah.
That's covered. Bottom-up water damage isn't. That seems questionable, considering the water comes from the sky.
It does. Wait.
In the form
Why
of
don't
rain.
We have a breaking news alarm for that part? I mean, my goodness, Jane,
you're
blowing my mind with weather facts.
I know.
And that's the thing is, Jenny says on the live stream, she says, because covering flooding is not profitable. And that's the, you know, we're seeing this with the wildfires in California where that not only are insurance companies not insuring for it anymore out there, but they weren't going to be able to pay on the claims. So, and if I'm not mistaken, if you live in a flood zone, you have to have flood insurance,
right,
or you can't get a home loan. You can't get a mortgage from a bank. Does that mean if we keep, because we're going to keep seeing this, I'm sorry, folks, but we're going to get in the conversation that climate change is real and this is a thing that keeps happening. I'm sorry to ruin your Wheaties this morning, but it's the fact. Will insurance companies, even if you have flood insurance, not cover it then because it will become a regular thing. And do folks now have to say, well, I don't live in a flood zone, but we had that flood back in 23, which sounds incredibly old to say, or 25.
Yeah.
So it just puts a whole bunch of more cost onto the homeowner, because I don't know if you guys know this, but insurance isn't free and it's not cheap.
Louis Hill, had to help his mother-in-law escape her home during the flood early Sunday morning. This is in Muskego. They all escaped unharmed, but found the basement wall had collapsed. Later on in the day, when they returned, the basement is a total loss. Flood waters also damaging the home's foundation. Now the entire house is off kilter.
Yeah.
Because there was so, it shifted everything. They'll likely have to pay tens of thousands of dollars just to get the foundation fixed.
Yeah.
Dave, and that is all out of pocket.
Dave on the text line listening right now, he says, insurance companies are in the business to make money. You can pay for it, but you can't use it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going back and forth. I know this is a very weird thing to compare it to, but I'm going back and forth. Do I still pay for the pet insurance we have? Because there was one initial thing it covered, and very well, great. It cost us nothing to get her spayed. But every time I put in a claim now,
since then,
there's a reason why they can't cover it. I'm like, well, why am I paying you then?
And that's not inexpensive either.
No,
it is. That pet insurance.
No, it is not. So, like, the whole milieu of insurance just angers me because, as Dave just says, you can pay into it, but they're going to find a way not to cover it. And that's really unfortunate. And then give me my money back. Give me my money back.
Jim from Brookfield texting in. I live downslope on the eastern edge of Waukesha County in Brookfield. After those consecutive 100-year floods in 96 and 97, the city of Brookfield installed a pump system near the county line at Underwood Creek. The system has kept the homes in our neighborhood dry. Thank you, city of Brookfield. Yeah, thanks, Jim. But again, it's about being proactive and thinking, gee, 200-year floods back to back.
Yeah.
Maybe this is becoming more of a regular occurrence. Maybe we should do something to mitigate it now.
Well, and that it brings up a great point, and we saw this in Texas, and we saw the fact that Texas had a chance 40 years ago to do something about this, and now we live in a day and age where nobody wants to spend money on anything, either because it's, you know, they don't need to, or they don't have the money at all to begin with. So, okay, we've had this, quote, thousand-year flood. What can municipalities do to brace against the next one that's going to come? How do they get support from the state government? And how do we get support at all from the federal government? Good luck. That's the problem these municipalities are in. And they've been in this problem for a long time. They're just trying to help the people.
This isn't new. In this one instance, this is the fourth time this woman's basement has flooded in 10 years. The fourth time in 10 years.
Jeez.
She's asking the city to increase flood risk for the area because of the frequency of flooding.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue this conversation. If you would like to join us, 855-752-4842. We're talking floods and the aftermath of the thousand-year flood. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about the massive flash flooding that happened over the weekend in southeastern Wisconsin. Governor Evers has declared a state of emergency. We will see what happens with that. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about FEMA right now, as far as people being able to reach out. I know in the city of Milwaukee, they are going to be doing pickups of flood debris if you put it in front of your house, but you have to contact the city.
Okay.
And yesterday, the city of Milwaukee also opened up their waste dump sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I attempted to go yesterday.
Yeah.
And the line was so long, and they were open until 3 o'clock. I waited about a half an hour and then I pulled out of the line. There was just no way I was going to get to that in time.
Yeah.
But if you have friends or neighbors, maybe you can help them out. and take a load for them because it's a mess. It's really a mess, and it's pretty widespread. Again, this didn't just happen in Milwaukee. This happened in Brookfield. This happened in Muskego. Lots of big parts of Waukesha County.
And with regard to the question of FEMA, I don't really want to get, because I can get real snipey and cross and petty about that stuff, so I don't want to do that, but I don't see anything happening.
I don't either.
Because if they're not going to, I mean, this is
they're still waiting for help in Texas.
Well, and that's the thing, too, is like, I don't want to get political about this, but unfortunately, that's where we're at right now in this world. This was a real thing that did real damage for people in this state. And by all accounts, politics-wise, it is a red state that voted for Trump in that sense. Texas, North Carolina, Arkansas all had the same had natural disaster issues happening over the past few months, and nothing has really been done for them. I don't see them coming to our aid. I'm hoping that what Governor Evers is putting into place, and maybe there's money somewhere sitting around that can help people. And, you know, for these individuals who apparently aren't going to get covered by flood insurance. I mean, it's I don't like getting political in these times where the people who are affected, I don't care who they voted for. These are people. They need help. They need assistance, whether it's hauling trash away or a check in their pocket to help rebuild their home because of this 1,000-year flood. Well, there needs to be a mechanism, and it cannot be because the guy up top likes you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're going to get special favors because Trump. Trump likes you. Well, and I was thinking about this too. Again, we only had 6 inches of water in the basement. That's nothing compared to folks who had a foot or 2 feet or 3.5 feet of water in their basements. And even on the first floors of their homes in some instances. But we're lucky. Our furnace is up on blocks.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to. Our system kept working. Air conditioners, everything is working. We're really lucky. There were still people this morning, 22,000 people still didn't have power. Having gone through this numerous times, you can't clean up if you don't have power.
Correct. I mean,
it's really, really difficult.
This whole thing happening has made me think about, okay, maybe I need to bring someone into the home, into the basement to say, all right, your foundation is good. Like we said, the house is about 30 years old. I don't foresee anything, but that doesn't mean I'm completely immune from it, but putting stuff up on blocks in the laundry room, maybe putting the money down to get that. I've talked to my wife for a while now about getting an external generator in the house, because that's a real thing.
Yes.
That's a real thing that can happen.
Yes.
And it's an expense, but it really is an investment. You use it a few times and it kind of pays for itself in worry bucks, if you will.
It really does. We have a generator.
Yeah.
We have a gas power generator that's big enough to run the sump pump.
Okay.
And we have a battery operated sump pump to back up our sump pump. But just in case, we have a little generator. If you're going to do that, you have to run it outside. Mm-hmm. Don't run a generator in the house.
Well,
and there are folks who do that, and then they end up dying because of carbon monoxide poisoning.
And I was thinking about getting one of those generators that just is almost like an air conditioning unit. There's a specific plot. It sits right there.
Right, outside of your house. Yeah.
So.
But again, we're talking about thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Even us, again, we only had 6 inches of water. Now I have to have someone look at the water heater because it covered up the water heater and the washer and dryer, which we just got in December. I got to have somebody look at that. And again, we only had 6 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
People who had a foot or 2 feet of water, those appliances are destroyed.
Yeah.
And that's not going to get replaced.
And I would say, folks, that, you know, as Jane said, and I will repeat and maybe even widen the net, is, you know, if there's folks, you know, not just taking out the trash, but help them with what you can do. Yeah, I mean, whether it's helping them with their laundry or giving them a place to sleep or bringing some food over.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. If you can let somebody use your shower, which is huge.
Yeah.
Let someone use your washer and dryer. Hello, Sister Suzanne. I'm going to be coming over in the next couple of days.
I'll bring muffins. So, it's right now. I don't want to think about the politics within it and the terrible insurance companies. I want to think about people helping people and just reaching out to a neighbor and seeing what you can do to be there for them. So
it makes a big difference, folks. At a time like this, everybody needs a little hand. So if you can do that, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
We have news coming up. And then when we return, he's the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. His name is Pat Kreitlow.
What?
Crime is down in our nation's capital. Yes, but the president says he's sending in troops to take it over anyway. Which city is next? We'll talk about that with Pat coming up. Stay close. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, just a reminder, we got baseball later on today. Yeah, Brewers hosting the Pirates. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. You can listen, not on the stream. You have to listen on terrestrial radio. So catch the game tonight starting at 6:05 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls. Hello, Park Falls.
Hi, Park Falls.
And WBZH in Hayward. Good morning, Hayward. Brewers hosting the Pirates coming up tonight at 6:05. He joins us every other Tuesday at this time to break down all the news. The host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow and our friend and colleague Pat Kreitlow is here from Chippewa Falls. How are things up in Lake Wasota this morning?
They're a lot drier by comparison, and I'm glad to see you back and hope that things are going all right, you know, by you, comparatively speaking.
Thank you.
And I also regret to say that the view from Lake Wasota is smoky again.
Smoke is back.
We had a day or so where after all the heavy rain, it looked so clear. It was so wonderful. It was like, you know, cleaning your glasses, you know, after the dog has licked them or something. He's not wrong.
It's all a little schmeary.
You know, a dog, your toddler, whatever, you know, they get that way. They get schmeary, and now we're back to looking all schmeary again. But that notwithstanding, we're okay up here.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because before you joined us, Pat, we were talking about the flooding and the recovery efforts now. And this isn't just in Milwaukee. There's big parts of Waukesha County and Ozaukee County and lots of folks dealing with this mess. But this is the new normal. And I think it's important that folks remember this. And this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Madeline Heim with the byline, "Weekend storms were rare, but they reflect the new rainfall extremes in Wisconsin." Yes, they do.
Yes.
This is because of climate change, and because there is so much more moisture. These storms carry so much more moisture with them that we get this massive flooding. This doesn't just come out of nowhere. This is climate related.
Right. And not only that, all of the storms get more severe in intensity in places. And it was why, I guess, the saddest moment of my show this morning in talking to Hans Breitenmoser up in Lincoln County was to learn that not him, but farms not too far away from his, you know, had these beautiful crops. The summer's been so good. The crops are destroyed because they got a particularly bad hailstorm. And we've seen that happen up here. And the hailstorms, again, they're getting worse. Mm-hmm. So you have to have this look toward the future. And it you know, it reminds me, for example, Tammy Baldwin some time back, you know, proposed a bill that said that as parts of our infrastructure need to be replaced, that they not only not be punished, but encouraged to rebuild infrastructure with more resiliency. Let's say the example she gave was, you know, a bridge needs to be replaced over a creek. Well, when you rebuild it, you build it to withstand even more of a flood event.
Yes.
Because you're more likely to see that flood event now than you were before. So let's make sure when we invest in our infrastructure, it isn't something that we have to, much like people living in a flood zone where we have to pay to rebuild. Let's try to be proactive and preemptive in how we deal with the different weather world that we're living in now.
Because, again, this is the new normal. We had listener Jim from Brookfield texted in a little bit earlier in the show and said that after the floods in 96 and 97, which is when I had a house in New Berlin and had 2 feet of water in my basement with things floating across the basement, It's a very weird feeling to see things floating in your basement. But yes, in 96 and 97, at that point, the city of Brookfield took some action. That was a long time ago. And
it
I
was.
Have,
it,
right?
Yeah, and the city of Eau Claire did the same thing not that terribly long ago. Selena Heller, our Up North News reporter, who's on the show every Monday, has talked about during her time working for the city of Eau Claire during a process where, again, they purchased a lot of properties. They engaged in more work to not to create stormwater basins and things like that where stormwater could go. These are the kinds of things that we're talking about, and there are things I don't think anybody would disagree with. They may say, well, gosh, this project's going to cost more than it would have in the good old days. Well, that's not where we're living right now, and it is truly a case of forewarned is forearmed.
Well, and that's the thing that I brought earlier is that we looked at, you know, I used the example of Texas, which was, of course, much more tragic and much bigger. But 40 years ago, they had the opportunity to do something about it and decided not to, and now they're facing this again, and they're only going to be getting more floods and probably worse over time. And I use that comparison to look at municipalities like Brookfield and Waukesha, Milwaukee, Wauwatosa. Those are, if that is something in that southeastern part of Wisconsin that is going to be affected more, who will the municipalities turn to in partnership to find monies as we have a state that doesn't want to release money ever and spend money, even though we have a ton of it, and a federal government that has basically turned FEMA into a museum that no one can get anything from, even if it's a state that voted for him?
So in many ways, I mean, we feel more on our own than ever before, but I think the best thing that we can do is continue to plan, afford what you can at the local level, but plan for a better day and hope that this mindset does not last in our state and national capitals, because people are finally seeing that these austerity budgets, as I like to call them, there's nothing fiscally conservative about them. If all the savings is going to tax breaks for the wealthy, there's nothing small government about this when you're still micromanaging, you know, what local governments have to do with what little bit of funding you're willing to provide. So let's hope for a time when we have better leadership that understands that these are the things that you do to protect people, whether it's a changing climate or, you know, anything else that we can safely predict in our futures.
Speaking of elected officials, brings to mind Tom Tiffany, who for some reason is confused about this wildfire smoke coming from Canada. And apparently up until 3 years ago, which is the first time we started seeing smoke from Canadian wildfires, that was 3 years ago. Apparently up until 3 years ago, Canada had been doing a great job with raking their forests. And then 3 years ago, all their rakes burned or something. And now they don't take care of it the way that they used. So when Tom Tiffany says absurd, ridiculous things like that, this is what you should bring up to him.
Oh, absolutely. And he's engaging in what's now being called reverse verification.
Oh.
Yes. This is actually our friend Mark Jacob, who's on our show every Friday morning. He has the Stop the Presses newsletter. And I saw that this week he's having a Q&A with Jay Rosen, longtime journalism instructor at New York University. And it's what I refer to it as a propaganda adjacent practice of reverse verification as a way to undermine actual facts just because some people don't like them and then try to label them as bias, whether it's, you know, the facts about climate change, the crime statistics in Washington, D.C.
We're going to get to that
things
in a
like
minute.
That. Yeah. Yep. You just look to discredit the source. You can't discredit the fact. But if you can discredit the source and make people think, oh, they must have been biased when they put out that fact, it's how we get to a population now where so many people, well, look, we have one of the lowest vaccination rates for kindergartners in the country because of what I would call reverse verification. And it's why I do what I do every day, what you do, what Up North News does, Civic Media does, is to attack this misinformation because it has run rampant for far too long.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we are talking to the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the very man himself, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. I think they should have called it Crite Low on Crite Show, but whatever, that's fine. They didn't listen to me. But I think that that goes back to something we talked about last week, which was the sense of the troll, response of trying to get a dig and get a reaction from the people. I feel like what you're talking about is that trying to discredit the facts by saying it's bias. After a while, people who are truly affected by these things, who may have been part of that nation of trolls saying, yeah, we're going to stick it to the libs and blah, blah, they're going to realize that their pockets are empty, their houses are falling apart, their governments aren't running, and their kids aren't going to get an education, and they're getting sick, and all these things are happening because trolling doesn't run governments. Trolling doesn't get things done. And by means of Tom Tiffany doing what he's doing to try to discredit the facts, after a while, if he has nothing else to bring to the table, like, I don't know, a plan for Wisconsin that doesn't include strip mining some of the most beautiful areas of the state, then people are going to say, well, why are you even running in the first place? What do you bring? You've been in Washington. You were in the state capitol, and you have no plan. All you're doing is making digs at Tony Evers and Joe Biden.
Well, because, again, some people just only know how to engage in full-time politics mm-hmm. rather than policy. And, again, when we get to the, you know, the takeover of D.C. government, the thing I want to establish in this frame here that of what we're talking about is the notion of a distraction.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. when you say that people are slowly realizing, you know, X, Y, or Z, we're now seeing that. There are people slowly realizing, hey, you know what? I don't think Donald Trump's actually going to release the Epstein files like he promised. You know what? I don't think he had nothing at all to do with this and that he's looking to change the subject. And that's what, you know, Tiffany and others are helping when they send a sternly worded letter to Canada.
Yeah.
It's all about creating a distraction to get away from the cuts you're making to our health care, the inflation that continues to affect consumers, all of these things, because it's easier to form a distraction than it is to engage in thoughtful policy.
And something that we talked about we'll talk more about it, but the I'm calling it the invasion on DC. That's strictly what it is. It's just an invasion on DC. And Calvin said something brilliant yesterday, which is that this whole action in DC is a distraction. And you want to say to yourself, but this isn't something small. That's the problem. In order to distract from things like Epstein and the big bill,
they have
to make these distractions bigger and more dangerous and more and could harm people in their creation. So yeah, now they have to quote invade DC to clean it up because they don't want you looking at what's right in front of you, which is the Epstein file and the fact that this is a terrible budget for America. And so yeah, they have to crack a few skulls to make you look the other way.
Or to continue.
Wait. This guy, Calvin. You got the idea from him.
Calvin says brilliant things.
I just see this box over here. I've never. Is there? I see a microphone in there.
He's a deep thinker.
You have
thinker.
To tell me more about this during the break.
He's a deep thinker, our Calvin. He's a deep thinker. Jack, I see you on the line. We'll take you on the other side. Yep, Jeffrey Epstein, he's still dead, and he's still not going away. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is, the Civic Media Radio Network. Now touch that button. Okay, here. Now. Good.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking about the change in climate, the incredible 1,000-year rains we had over the weekend in southeastern Wisconsin. This is the new normal. Because it just is. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it. Jack from Merrimack has been waiting on the phone very patiently. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for hanging on. What'd you want to say?
Good morning. Well, first of all, we've known about global warming, which is euphemistically called climate change, for decades.
Yep.
I studied it in grad school in the 1980s. Next, those people who say it's too expensive to deal with or even to slow down need to realize it's already crossed trillions in damage. There was information on a NASA site that I found that said between 1980 and 2000, and this is, of course, not the last 25 years, obviously, in that 20-year stretch, something like $2 trillion of damages were caused by climate-related storms and other issues. For some reason, all that information just has disappeared from that site. And finally, regarding using public money, taxes, to pay, or at least to prevent the worst consequences, or funding FEMA to help Americans with the damage already done, the right-wingers who claim to love the Constitution and its First Amendment, somewhat hypocritically, they swoon at the mention of the Second Amendment, but they need to read the whole document. There's a little thing called the preamble. The preamble basically tells us why our founding fathers bothered with a constitution in the first place, and one of its parts reads, to promote the general welfare. Not the welfare of just billionaires, not the welfare of big corporations, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate that, Jack. Thank you so much. Very thoughtful comments, as always, Gesundheit.
Thank you.
Again, this isn't something that's been sneaking up on us and, oh, surprise, it's climate change. No, this is, we've known about this for a very long time. And shockingly, the fossil fuel industry kind of tried to squelch that information. And now we have the Trump administration. I mean, it's in Project 2025, essentially, to remove all mentions of climate change and essentially get rid of all scientists who study that topic, because then apparently it no longer exists.
Again, just this reverse verification.
Well, it is
because we say so.
And speaking of that, now, of course, I do want to talk about this a little bit. Trump, of course, has now mobilized the D.C. National Guard, going to take over D.C. because of the crime rates. Crime rates are out of control. Crime rates in D.C. are actually down 30%.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Trump administration is saying that some captain in the D.C. police force lied about those numbers. So this is what we're going to see going forward now. Anything that does not match up with the administration's wish list is now made up. Every data point, every single thing that comes up that negates their narration is lying. Everybody's lying, except for Trump. He's the only one who can disseminate truth.
Yes, all those scientists about vaccine,
just
all those
wacky
scientists about the climate,
right?
All of those former members of his cabinet.
Yeah. Can't trust those people.
Yeah.
The only one, the dear leader, is the only one who is infallible.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the question I asked yesterday when we were talking about this. Is I can't imagine the D.C. police like this. There was one report of a minor traffic accident in D.C. and half a dozen various agents showed up, one with a rifle, to see what was going on. Well, I imagine there were probably one or two police officers there trying to secure the area, make sure everyone's okay, direct traffic. Like, this is going to do nothing but make D.C. cops' job harder.
Well, and I am confused because I thought Nancy Pelosi was the only one who had the authority to call in the National Guard into D.C. That's what they said on January 6th. They've maintained that for years, that Nancy Pelosi is the only one who has the authority to do this. So can someone explain to me how this is happening now?
If you ever wonder what if there appears to be a large object blocking out the sun, it's irony. The irony has just grown here that the convicted felon, the criminal mastermind of the biggest crime in Washington, D.C. since the War of 1812, and that, of course, would be the January 6th insurrection, is now the guy calling the shots. He was a one-man crime wave in Washington, D.C., and he made it less safe by pardoning all of those people who took part in it. He's the one opening up the prison doors and letting people right back out and, again, using this as a distraction from his real agenda.
Well, and again, this is all it is. Don't look at the Epstein files. There are no Epstein files. There's nothing to see here. There was never anything there. Forget all the stuff we said before. It was nothing. It's all fine. It's all good. Nothing to see here. Well, this should concern all of us. He has been waiting for the opportunities to send troops into U.S. cities for years. And this is the beginning.
And he said yesterday that this is not the end.
Yeah.
No, it's not. And wherever you live right now, it's not that you're going to get the whole military showing up, but you're going to get people showing up who otherwise would never invade your civil liberties, but they're not going to like something that you did and expect to knock on your door if this trend continues.
Well, and as far as we know, a bunch of those January 6th rioters who got pardoned, they might all be part of ICE now. As far as we know, we have news coming up next when we return. State Senator Kildaroy's is going to be here to talk about some safety measures to protect crypto, to protect us from crypto. That's all coming up. Thank you, Pat. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.